Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to read the first four verses together. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Let's read this passage responsively. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for the word of God. Thank you how this morning it challenged us, it convicted us, and hopefully it will change us. And tonight I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look at another truth, look at it from maybe a little bit closer to your viewpoint than our own. Pray that you'd help us tonight. Be with us. Bless our remaining time together tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to help you tonight. If you're a parent, if you are a leader, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you work in any realm of dealing with people, which is virtually everybody here, I can help you. If you're a child, you need to pay attention tonight. I can help you. I can, as your pastor, save you a lot of grief in life if you'll listen to me tonight. I can help you understand life a little better. You won't understand it all, but you'll understand it a little better. And I think I can help you. Our text verse tonight is Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place." Now watch this. Beholding the evil and the good. So many times we talk about how God sees all the bad that you do, but I want you to notice God says he sees the evil, but he also sees the good. God sees it all. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. My mom, like all moms who strive to get their children to live God's way and to have character, saw everything we did before we did it. My mom didn't have to wait for the broken glass, the busted toys, the bloody noses, and the broken bones before she knew what was going on. She knew it before it happened. My brother's 50 years old and still believes my mother has eyes in the back of her head. I don't understand that, but he still believes it. Every good principal, every good teacher, every good leader sees what's going on around them. By the way, moms and dads, if you'd listen to what I just said, I could save you a lot of grief with your children. Some of you don't watch your kids. And I don't mean all the time, but some of you don't pay attention to them. Children are just like you. They're creatures of habit. And, you know, when a kid looks at you and says, "I didn't do it," you know they did something. Here's the thing. When it gets real quiet, are you paying attention? You got to watch them to know what's going on. Boy, that's a good statement. The teachers you respected most when you were going through school were the ones that saw everything going on in class. The teachers that you learned the least from were those that they could teach, like Charlie Brown's teacher, and had no idea what was going on in class. You all know what I'm talking about. We've all had teachers like that in school. You know, the ones you respect most are the ones that had that hairy eyeball that they just, they could pull hoe just by looking at you. And you had those that you got away with a lot in class, but you sure didn't learn anything either. Now, I had a teacher one time who worked for me. And by the way, I've been principal in two different schools, assistant to the vice president of a Bible college, and working in another Bible college. Trust me, I think I've taught in many places. You say, "Well, I know who that was." Everybody in here could put a face to this story, I promise you, and you don't know who this was. But I had a teacher who came to my office one day and was upset because their students were mocking them. I said, "Well, how much classroom control do you have?" "Oh, I've got great control." And I burst out laughing. I couldn't help it. They were so oblivious to the fact that they did not know what was going on, that they did not know what was going on. I said, I've stood outside your room. I have watched you teach. I have listened to you teach. And it's no wonder you don't know what's going on. The teacher said, when did you do that? I said, I've walked into your classroom, walked out of your classroom. You didn't even know I was there. You were never in my classroom. I said, case in point, I could walk in as your boss, listen to you teach, walk out. You never knew I even showed up or left. I said, and you wonder why your students mock you? I said, you're not watching what's going on around you. Boy, that's a good statement. I said, you're so concerned with getting through your material that you can't see into the eyes of your students to see if they're getting it. And by the way, parents, watch your kids. Some of you expect just because you say something that they're going to obey. Trust me. Children don't do what they're supposed to do because they want to do it. They do what they're supposed to do because they're forced to do it. I'm just going to tell you the truth. That's called immaturity. Hopefully by the time they leave your home, they'll do it because they're supposed to do it, not because they're made to do it. But some don't learn, and that's why they have to have a mean boss over top of them all the time, making them do what they're supposed to do. Now, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible does not say that he's looking at our sin. It says his eyes behold the evil and the good. When you get saved, look at me, when you get saved, your sin's under the blood and he doesn't see your sin. Evil is when you go into conspiracy with someone to destroy somebody else. And God sees that conniving, that planning, that going in with someone or many people to hurt someone else. God sees that. He does not look at your sin, but he sees you plotting with others to hurt somebody else on purpose. God says, I see that. Now, when it comes to your sin and the devil accuses you of sin to God, if you're saved, God says, Jesus stands and says, Father, it's under the blood. He says, what sin? God cannot see your sin. God does not pay attention to your sin. Listen to me. He does see your evil. That means when you run your mouth about somebody and tell a whole bunch of people about the bad that somebody has done, that's called gossip and that's evil. When you tell somebody else some negative about somebody else, all you want to do is attack their character. That is evil. By the way, I don't care if it's your boss. I don't care if it's about a lost person. When you're running your mouth just to hurt them, that is evil. Period. Everybody doing okay? We live in a society, I have to say this. This means when you're running your mouth to your children about their parent that you're divorced from and you're talking bad about them, that's evil. I hate to tell you that. We got to be careful. Let's not destroy people with evil. Boy, that's a good statement. But I also want you to know something. God says, my eyes are in every place beholding the good too. Do you know that God sees the good that you do? God sees the good things that you do. Boys and girls, can I tell you something? Whether mom and dad are watching, God is. Somebody is always watching. Boy, when I started working secularly, my dad, he said, son, don't ever stand still. Somebody's always watching. He said, if you don't have something to do, find a broom, find a rag, polish something, sweep something, but do something. Get off your blessed do-nothing. Don't stand there. Do something. He said, somebody's always watching. If you had a dad like my dad, you'd understand. If you didn't do something, he was going to make you do something. You know, my dad was not one of those parents that complained about the boss. He went to my bosses and said, how's my son doing? If he's not doing enough, I'll kick him in the backside and make sure he is. You know, that wasn't real pleasant. You say, why? Because my dad wanted to turn boys into men. And that's what he did. To this day, I just don't sit there and do nothing. I got plenty of work to get done. Let me ask you a question. What do God's eyes see in your life? I'm going to make a statement here. I study people. I study people's eyes. I watch you young people that won't listen to me when I preach. I watch your eyes. I watch you as you roll your eyes when I'm preaching like I did this morning and watch some of you go, here we go again. I watched others of you that went, and I knew I treated a coon, amen? I watch people's faces. I watch their eyes. My wife has the most beautiful eyes of anybody in the world. 27 years ago when I ran her over in a hallway at Bible college and knocked her on the ground and helped get her up, she looked at me back in my face and I went, man, I went to work that day. Is all I could see was these two baby blue eyes looking me square in the face all night at work. I went back the next day to the same place where she had been. You say, why? Because I had to get my lunch for work down there. We called it the gag bag line. I know that's not nice, but that's what we called it. It was, you all laugh, but that's what they would call it from the pulpit of the college, all right? It was that bad. When you've got peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you can't tell what kind of peanut or what kind of jelly it is because it's all different colors at the same time, you know it's pretty rough. When you can take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and set it down and it won't break, okay, it can get a little exciting. We had mystery meat sandwiches. We still don't know to this day what we shoved down the hatch. But you just did it, amen? When they would stand in college chapel and say, now, fellas, when you're at the gag, I mean, they would slip calling it that, and it was great. I went back down the next day. She was there. We talked for a moment. I went to work, and those blue eyes haunted me. That was 27 years ago. We'll, this June 24th, celebrate 25 years of marriage. Do you know what? My wife's eyes, it doesn't matter where I'm at, I can close my eyes and see those blue eyes looking at me. Can I tell you something? What's God's eyes see? What do the eyes of God see in your life? And by the way, I love my wife. I don't fear those eyes, usually. My wife loves me. Now, I can tell when I've disappointed her. I can tell when I've not done something quite right. I can tell when I screwed up in the pulpit and said something I shouldn't. Say why? I can look in her eyes. When I started talking about puke last week, she was in the nursery. I got home. She said, you did okay till you got to that stuff about puking. Uh-oh. Sorry. Slipped. Now, wait a minute. I love my wife. I don't fear her. Let me ask you a question. If you had to look into the eyes of God, would you fear him? Or would you see his love? How many of you ever got to meet Dr. Jack Hiles? Okay, several of you have. Everybody used to joke, Brother Hiles had those eyes that would look all the way through you. He had eyes. People were afraid to look at him. Say why? Because when he looked at you, it was like he was staring right into your soul. And it was like, okay. He just had those eyes that pierce. You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't fear those eyes. I knew the heart on the other side of those eyes. And there was nothing to fear. There was nothing to fear. You say, why? They were full of love. He loved so deeply, sometimes he got intense. Okay. My mom and dad loved me sometimes. It got intense. They did not punish me because they hated my guts, usually. They punished me because they loved me and didn't want me to mess my life up even worse. Now listen to me. Let me give you three or four points and I'll hurry through this. God sees the good that you do, number one. Psalm 34:15, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Can I tell you something? God sees the good that you do. You know, God sees when you help somebody. You don't have to tell everybody that you've helped somebody. God sees it. God sees when you've given a gospel tract out. God sees when you've told somebody about the Lord. Mrs. Craig was telling me this morning, she was, I think at Sheets the other day, or sometime she and Ray were up there, and they gave a gospel tract to a fella, and I think, I'll get this pretty close, it might not be a direct quote, but he said, he's kind of a lay assistant pastor in a local church. He said, Brother Craig told me that I'd get another one of these. That's three in about a month. We've attacked him good, amen. Now, wait a minute. I like that. But you know what? God sees that. God sees that. And God says that's good. God likes to see his children doing well. Can I tell you something? When your children do well, you want to bless them? When your kids do well, don't you want them to be rewarded and to get good things and for them to hear you're pleased? By the way, dads, it would be good for you every once in a while to tell your kids you're pleased with them. One of my boys had a birthday this week, and I texted him very early that morning. You say, why? Because that puppy got us up, and we were up all night when he was born. Figured I'd get him out of bed early one day in his life, amen? But I told him, I said, son, I said, I'm very proud of you. You have turned into a good young man. And by the way, he needed to hear that from his dad. And I meant that. I think he's a good young man. Is he perfect? No, he's got my blood in him. I know he's not perfect. The good parts came from his mother, not from me. But may I say this, I'm not afraid to tell him that he's a good young man. Now listen to me. God sees the benefits his children can have and the freedoms they can have if they just do right. Boys and girls, listen to me. You know, if you obey, you get better things. You know, if you listen to the teacher and you do your homework, it's amazing how good your grades could be. It is amazing. You show me any student that struggles in school, and 9 times out of 10, you show me their demerit record or their discipline record, and I'll show you what their grades are. The kids that are always in trouble are generally the ones that have the worst grades. The ones that usually don't get in trouble have decent grades. That doesn't mean they're straight-A students. By the way, that's not always true, and I understand that. Some of us just struggle in school, period. That's okay. Not everybody's book smart. I can accept that, but it doesn't mean you should work less. Some of us have to work harder to get there, amen? And I understand that too. Well, let's work harder and let's get there. But may I say this, when you obey, it sure is a whole lot easier. Some of you get mad at the teacher because they graded your paper the way they gave the instructions. Parents, can I tell you something? If a teacher grades your student's papers and is a little harder on your student, may I say this? You got to thank God for a teacher that sees more in your kid. Quit complaining about the teacher being too hard on your precious little child. I'm glad I had teachers that pushed me. I'm glad I had teachers that reached down deep inside me and pulled something out of me. I was so pleased about 2 weeks ago, my high school English teacher, Becky Hartline, was here. I got to talk about her for just a moment. Can I tell you something? That woman was not the easiest person in the world to please as a teacher. She's been teaching 34 years. Do you know what? She's still no better than she was then. She's still hard to please. After church that night, some of the teenagers said, man, you know Mrs. Hartline, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, does her red pen explode on your papers like it did mine? And they just started laughing. They said, yeah, she still got them. I said, I think she's got stock in the company. Now, wait a minute. I thank God for a lady like that that reached down inside and pulled something out of me. I wasn't upset with her. Well, sometimes I was. But thank God that she saw something in me. They saw the good. Now, God sees the bondage of sin and evil. Boys and girls, listen to me. Sometimes mom and dad's hard on you because they don't want you to be bound by sin. Moms and dads, don't let your children lie to you. Lying is a character issue. By the way, the biggest sin of any child in the world is sin, is lying. You know, you don't have to teach your children to lie. They do it very naturally. They're of their father, the devil. You look at it. 99% of your children's sin comes because of lying in the first 5 years of their life. You know, the cookies are dripping out of their face. They've got black goo on their hands and white icing. Were you in the cookies? Oh, no, not me. Let me see your hands. I didn't do it. It was my brother's fault. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. The sooner you nip that, the better off you are. The longer you let them continue into lying, the worse it is on them. And every once in a while, God has to allow you to face the consequences of your sin because you won't listen to him. I would try to teach my children to be a little wiser with money. So as they got a little older, I'd give them a little bit of money. And every once in a while, one of my kids would say, "Dad, I want to buy this. I want to buy this." "I don't think you do." "Oh, yeah, I got to have it. I got to have it." "No, you don't need that." "Yeah, okay, it's your money." It's amazing. They buy it. A couple hours later, "Dad, I wished I wouldn't have bought that. I told you." Sometimes you have to let them make that mistake. Amen? Now, I have one child. If you gave him $10, 2 weeks later, he's got 20. I think he's part Jew. He's got some of his grandfather in him. Now, wait a minute. It's amazing how that every once in a while we think we just have to have something. Boys and girls, if you'd listen, and by the way, moms and dads, if you'd listen at work, maybe your boss does know something you don't know. "Well, I just don't see it." You don't have to see it, just obey. They could save you a lot of grief. And let me say this, every bad thing that happens to you isn't God judging you for something you did. I hate to disappoint you, God does not judge sin. That's what the great white throne judgment is about. He does judge evil on his children. Okay, number two, I got to hurry. God leads with his eyes. God leads with his eyes. Luke chapter 22, verse number 61, I'll read it. "And the Lord turned," watch this, "and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Remember the story? Jesus is about to be crucified. He's been falsely accused and tried and found guilty. They came to Peter three times and said, "Aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of the disciples? Weren't you with this fella?" He denied it twice, and the third time denied it, got so angry, he cussed and swore. Said, "You blankety blank, 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 I'm not one of those." And the Bible says Jesus turned and looked at him. And Peter remembered, heard the cock crow. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. You notice Jesus never said a word? God leads with his eyes. God leads with his eyes. Let me put it in modern terminology. God has a hairy eyeball. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That look over the glass. My children know when it's time. I've sat on platforms their whole life. Can I tell you something? I could watch my wife struggle with one of my kids in church, and I'd be sitting on the platform, and I'd look at my wife, and she knew what it meant, and she'd tell one of my kids to look at me, and I'd just look at them. And they were like, that's all I had to do. Say, what is that? Every once in a while, you got to lead with your eyes. Can I tell you something? Some of you parents, your children won't look you in the face because you don't mean what you say. When they know you're going to back up what's behind them little eyeballs in your head, they understand that. Oh, that's good stuff. People see you, and may I say this, they watch what you do. Mamas and daddies, what do they see you do at work? You talk about being a Christian, but how do you live at work? Where you live, your neighbors hear you talk about being a Christian, or would they be shocked to find out that you were? Everybody doing okay? Am I up here by myself tonight? Whew. Ladies, Everybody sees how you dress when you're not at church. Men, everybody sees how you dress when you're not at church. They know what you listen to when you're at work. Are you the kind of Christian that when the bad talk comes around, they say, oh, sorry, we shouldn't have said that in front of you because you're a Christian? Or is it, come on over here, I got to tell you, and you go over with them? Everybody doing all right? Okay. Do you have authority backing your eyes? One of the kids, and honestly, I don't remember which one, so don't ask me if it was yours. Yes, it was yours, all right? We'll just settle it. One of the kids was running today, and I just kind of calmly called him by name, and honestly, I don't remember which one. And they kind of listened to me, but they didn't, and I called their name again. I just looked at them. It's amazing how fast they slowed down. Say why? There was authority in those eyes. I was in Bible college. Oh, this frustrated me. I'd be working with a group of 20, 25 teenagers. And the leader would say, I won't be here. You control them. Shoot. I was 18, 19 years old. Yeah, I'm going to tell them exactly. I would say the same words the leader would say. And they didn't give a flip what I said. That leader would walk back in and say virtually identical word for word what I said. And it's amazing how they listened. Got him aside and said, how in the world did you do that? He said, you got to have the authority behind it. He said, you're going to have to look him square in the eye when you say it. Don't just say the words. You got to have the authority to back it. He said, you'll learn it. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day when I spoke and they went my way. Amen. I finally said, ooh, I understand what that means. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know when mom or dad mean business. Moms and dads mean business every time you say it. They don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder. Boy, that's good stuff. learn to get a hairy eyeball. Amen. Third, and I've got to finish up here pretty quickly here. Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to turn there real quickly here. Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read one verse number 6. The Bible says, I'm on the wrong page. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And that's not the verse I was looking for. Okay, you're right, 9:36. I can't read my own handwriting. I knew something didn't sound right there. Watch this. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Look at me. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Can I tell you something? God's eyes are full of love. God's eyes are full of love. He looked at the needs of the people, not what he wanted to see. Everybody look at me for just a moment. By the way, you'll hear me say that regularly while I preach. You know why? I know you're listening when I can see your eyeballs. When I see the top of your head, I know you're not paying attention. Brother Hiles was death on that. Don't take notes. Look at me. Look at me. You'll get more. Listen to me. I'm not quite that bad, but I'm getting there. I understand it. If you'll just listen and watch, you'll get it. Let me talk to you. Some of you don't like it because I look right in your eyes when I'm preaching. And if you'll listen to me, I can help you. His eyes looked at the needs of the people. By the way, he didn't look at what they could do for him. He was looking to see what he could do for them. Can I tell you? I don't care what you do for me. I just want to do something to help you. Say, what is that love? Say, what do you need from your wife? Nothing. I just want to meet her needs. You say, how are you so happily married? Because I'm looking to see what she needs, and I don't care what I need. If she's got what she needs, that's all I need. Say, why is she happy? Because she's trying to help me get what I need. And we help each other get what we need so that we can be what the other needs us to be, and it makes for a happy marriage. Some of you are looking too much at life on what can you get out of it. Boys and girls, why didn't you try to make mom and dad happy? Why didn't you try to please them? Why didn't you try to obey them? Hey, why didn't you try obeying your teacher? It's amazing what you would learn in school if you would learn to listen to your teachers. They happen to know a little bit more than you know. Parents, listen to me very carefully. Most of you have teachers for your children that know more about education than you do. You might ought to listen to your teachers every once in a while. Everybody doing okay? It's amazing how many people know how to run a classroom that never ran a classroom. It amazes me. Man, do I feel like I'm by myself tonight. People didn't fear to look at the eyes of Jesus Christ. Look at me. Everywhere you look in the Bible, there were multitudes of people thronging around him. They came to him. They heard of him. They wanted what he had. You know why? Because he was looking to meet their needs. He was looking to meet the needs of someone else. He didn't care what they could do for him. It's what could he do for them. Boy, that's good stuff. And by the way, when he saw, he was moved to action. So many times we see people and we wonder, well, I can't do anything to help them. Did you tell them you were praying for them? Sometimes there's not much more I can do, but I can pray. Brother Jimmy, I ran out to Bobby's yesterday. I didn't call him. I just ran out there. I didn't plan on staying. Young man dying of cancer. I knocked on the door and I said, I just came to let you know. I woke up this morning. I was thinking about you. I was praying for you. Is there anything I can do? And they said, Pastor Bush, come on in. We're glad you're here. I said, no, I didn't come to stay. They said, no, come on in. I said, I was just thinking about you. You know, I can't take the cancer away. And please don't take this the wrong way. I can't keep the young man from dying. But at least they know somebody cares. At least they know somebody's praying. I can't take the pain away. But at least they know somebody loves them. Wow. If that's all I did, wow, that was exciting. That was fun. No, it's not fun watching somebody die. But at least they know somebody loves them. Boy, that's important. You know, people need to see your love in your eyes. Parents, when's the last time you looked into your children's eyes and said, I love you? My daughter is 16 years old. There's not been a day of her life that her daddy hasn't looked her square in the eyeballs and said, I love you. Not a day of her life. By the way, my children have watched their mom and dad every day of their life look into each other's eyes and say, we love each other in their presence. You say, why? Because we do. When's the last time you looked into your child's eyes and said, I love you? And I mean, not just looked at them and said, love you. I mean, they knew you meant what you said. Hey, husbands, hey, I know it's tough. I know you're a rough, tough man. Can you look at your wife tenderly and say, I love you? You ought to do it every day. You wonder why you struggle? When's the last time you looked into her eyes and said, I love you? Boy, that's good. Lastly, he had eyes of purity. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse number 12. And let me read this verse to you. The Bible says, his eyes are as the eyes of doves by rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His eyes are the eyes of a dove. A dove, if you've ever looked at a dove, has very dark, very bold eyes. But they're very pure, very innocent. there's nothing as spooky as walking through a dark field, going deer hunting in the morning, and hearing you've almost stepped on a dove, and that thing comes out from underneath your feet going, okay, it's a little unnerving. They make this little whiny, cackly noise that just, when you're not expecting it, you can't see them. Now, wait a minute. Be careful what you see. It'll affect your love. We watch way too much Hollywood lust and think we know how to love. Yes, sir. We watch too much evil and we have lost our ability to love. Parents, you're letting your kids watch way too many video games that are destroying their love. Yes. Hollywood has been attacking the home for about 50 or 60 years. Well, let's go watch all the good shows. I Love Lucy and Andy Griffith. Do you know that back in the 1930s, John Rice put out a booklet about how bad Hollywood was? And the very shows you call good shows, he was preaching against? Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were not good role models for your home, just so you know. I'm not saying that it's sinful to watch, but most of Hollywood makes men out to be bumbling idiots that can't do anything. They have been the propagators of sodomy in America. Okay. Guard your eyes. Mamas, teach your children to guard their eyes, not look at things they shouldn't look at. I taught my kids, don't look at billboards as we drive. My wife and daughter were the hawks for the billboards. You say, why? Because I was trying to protect my boys' eyes. Somebody will say, did you see such and such billboard? I don't look at them. I promise you, I do not look at billboards. You say, why? Because 9 out of 10 aren't worth looking at. It's either alcohol or some naked woman or something else that I don't care to see. I just don't pay attention to them. Everybody doing okay? Guard your eyes. What are you watching? What do you see on your internet? Who are you associated with on the internet? Some of you are watching evil and it's affecting your ability to love and be pure. Boy, that's good stuff. And by the way, sin made to look funny is not funny. It's amazing how bad the cartoons of today really are. You know, what happened to Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny and Tom and Jerry, amen? I always loved Tom and Jerry because the cat got beat up every time. Amen? My love for cats, amen? But, now you've got evil, violent, wicked, filthy, trashy adult humor with cartoons. And it's sick. I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to finish. Ladies, be careful how you dress to attract a man's eyes. What will he see? Just be careful. If a lady would look at herself in the mirror to see what a man sees before she leaves, she wouldn't have to worry about what the man's eyes is going to do when he sees her. Men, watch your eyes. Learn to look at a lady in the eyeball and not check her out as she comes up to you. Everybody doing okay? I know, just went from preaching to meddling, but here we are. I won't take time to turn there, but if you went to Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 18, Revelation chapter 19, verse number 12, the Bible says that in reference to God, that you look into the eyes of God, and it says his eyes were as a flaming fire. His eyes were as a flaming fire. One day you're going to get to look into the eyes of Jesus Christ. You will look into the eyes of God the Father himself. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to do? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I don't mean to say this the wrong way, but if you'll listen to this statement, it will change you. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, we'll see the eyes of God? And we'll get to see them and be led by them for the rest of eternity. But at the same time, do you know what the last thing a lost person will see? The eyes of God. And God will look at them and say, I never knew you. Cast them into outer darkness. By the way, hell is total darkness. And they will be haunted by the eyes of God for eternity. The last image of their mind will be the eyes of God in heaven. And it will haunt them for eternity. Huh. The eyes of God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Boys and girls, somebody's always watching. Mamas and daddies, somebody's always watching. Employee, somebody's always watching. Beholding the evil and the good. What do the eyes of God see in your life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, are there some things that you need to get right with the Lord tonight? Are there some things that you've seen that you need to get right? Well, let's get it right. Maybe you're watching things you shouldn't watch. Then let's get it right. Maybe you're just not watching your own children. Maybe, boys and girls, you need to get right and decide you're going to listen to your mama or your daddy or your teachers. I don't know what the need, but I do know there is a need.